one of the most basic teachings of Christianity is that God became man. God entered into his own creation. The Word became flesh, the incarnation. Well, that's one of the foundations of our whole faith, that Jesus Christ is both God and man. And it's great news, of course. I will never be able to exhaust the greatness of that fact that God has come among us. But the context in which he became man, or the condition of the creation into which he came, especially to the human family, is a mess. So it's not as if when God became man, man was so happy about it. There was a lot of, well, there's a variety of responses to his presence. This came to my mind because of the gospel today in which Jesus walks into an argument. And it's, if you think of what happened in the previous verses of this gospel, this is Mark chapter 9, Jesus was on the mountain. We heard this in Saturday's gospel. Jesus was on the mountain, transfigured in glory, talking to Moses and Elijah. It was a moment of divine glory and revelation. And this descent from the mountain, from the glory on the mountain down into the argument, the squabbling of a big crowd of people, is a kind of microcosm of the whole process of the incarnation. When the Word lived in glory, he was like transfigured on the mountain. And when the Word became flesh, he ended up in a mess. You know, he had to face all kinds of reactions. And this is what is still happening. We're not angels. When the angels learned about the incarnation, they made an immediate decision. They either accepted it and rejoiced, or they rejected it and they never accepted. But the human family has this weird mixture of accepting and not accepting, and we get caught up in our own temporal experience. Maybe we're in a bad mood, or maybe we're full of hope that something better will happen, or maybe we're just proud and we don't want anyone to interfere with our plans for the day, or we're angry at some injustice that we see in the world. All these things become part of how we accept or don't accept the Word. So that's what happens here. Jesus comes down the mountain with Peter, James, and John. And his disciples are in the middle of some kind of heated argument. Immediately on seeing him, the gospel says, the whole crowd was utterly amazed. This is one of the cases where we wish the gospels would tell us a little bit more about what that was about, what was so amazing, why were they so utterly amazed. We know that he was no longer transfigured in glory. That episode passed very quickly, and Peter, James, and John saw that he was no longer radiant. He was just himself again. And as they came down the mountain, they were wondering, well, what is this all about? And what about Elijah? And Jesus said, don't tell anybody about this, remember? But when the crowd saw him, they were utterly amazed. So there must have been something about him. Maybe he wasn't shining in glory, but maybe he just looked healthy. Maybe it was a surprise that someone, after climbing up and down a mountain, looked so good or happy or somehow radiant. But anyway, the gospel doesn't give us the reason why they were so amazed. But the next thing that happens is he asks them, what were you arguing about? So as he came down the mountain, he must have heard them yelling at each other. And again, we're not told exactly what it was about, but it's not too hard to imagine, because we know that it had something to do with this possessed boy and the Father asking the disciples to drive out the evil spirit, and they failed to do it. So you could imagine that the Father, who's, by his own admission, doesn't have a very strong faith, he probably said, well, let me at least try this. I'll bring my son to these guys, and maybe they can help him. And he says, please, you know, do something for my son. And then they tried, and they failed, and they were humiliated because they didn't do what they thought they could do. And then the Father probably accused them of being fake, and they got defensive. And then he said, well, how much do you want for this? And they said, don't give us any money. And you just imagine how it would immediately blow up, because everybody's emotions are in it, and the Father is desperate, and the disciples are humiliated at public failure, and the crowd is gathering, and it's easy to imagine. That's how all things always break down. So, and Jesus enters right into the middle of this. And this is why you can understand his reaction. The father of the boy says, well, I brought him to your disciples and they didn't do it. And then Jesus' reaction to that is, O faithless generation, how long will I be with you? How long will I endure you? He's not saying I'm not going to endure you. He's saying this is really a tough process. I mean, here I am transfigured in glory. Here I am bringing divine life into the world. And here you are arguing about earthly matters. It's very hard to plant heavenly realities into an earthly mess. It's hard. So, and Jesus expresses it. How long is this going to take? Your faith, you still don't have any faith? And he identifies the problem. Lack of faith and lack of prayer. Lack of faith, lack of prayer. They go together, of course. Lack of faith, he reveals this in his response to the Father, who says, if you can do anything. And Jesus says, if you can do anything, what kind of a faith statement is that? Jesus says, anything is possible, or everything is possible to one who has faith. And the man responds to that very beautifully. See, not everything in the world is a mess. Humility is beautiful. And the man says, I do believe. I want to believe. I just have weak faith. Help my faith. Now he's not just asking for a cure for his boy. He's asking for his own faith. Help my unbelief. Beautiful prayer. And the way Jesus responds to that prayer is he performs the miraculous deliverance of the boy, and that certainly did strengthen the faith of the father. But then at the end of the gospel, the apostles ask why they couldn't, and they do this in private because they're already humiliated, why couldn't we drive the spirit out? And they had driven out lots of spirits. That was part of their mission. Remember, they were sent out to heal and drive out spirits and proclaim the kingdom, and they failed in this case. And Jesus' answer is, this kind can only come out through prayer. That's not a surprise, because prayer is the whole key to our link with God, our openness to the power of God working through us. It's as if he's implying that the apostles had not prayed. Maybe they tried because they were so full of themselves. Maybe they tried to cast out the spirit on their own, or relied somehow on their own power. And of course they failed. So lack of faith, lack of prayer, is what prevents the glory of God from reigning in our earthly condition. Now this incident is meant not only to reveal that God is with us in Jesus Christ. That certainly is true. He's revealing himself. But Jesus didn't come into the world just to reveal himself. He came into the world to raise us up to union with the Father. So he reveals himself so that we can be like him. And this is the process that's still going on in our own lives. We are like the father of this boy. We believe, but not all the time. I do believe, help my unbelief. We have hope of divine life, of heavenly life, but we're still in a very earthly condition. And this is described very well in today's first reading, the comparison between the earthly condition and the heavenly condition, or what James calls wisdom from below and wisdom from above. Wisdom from below, if you could even use the word wisdom, is this earthly, unspiritual bitterness, selfishness, ambition, pride, boasting. The very thing that causes all the arguments. The very thing that was at work in the crowd when Jesus came down the mountain. What he heard there was a lot of earthly condition, a lot of wisdom from below. And he brings with him to us wisdom from above. James describes this very well. Wisdom from above is first of all pure, then peaceable, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, without inconstancy or insincerity. That's what we're called to. This actually came up in yesterday's readings. You might remember at the end of yesterday's second reading, where Paul is speaking to the Corinthians about the difference between the first Adam and the second Adam, between Adam and Jesus. He says, well, the first Adam was a natural man. He is in a natural condition, he's an earthly condition, and that's what we're born into, a natural condition. But Paul said at the end of yesterday's reading, just as we have borne the image of the earthly one, and we all get this because we're born with human nature, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly one. So looking to the time when we will shine with glory. Because that's why Jesus came in the first place. He came to raise us to eternal life. So whether we're reflecting on Jesus doing a dramatic miracle of casting out a demon, or whether we're reflecting on the mysterious hidden presence of God in the midst of the conflicts and difficulties of the day, God is very consistent. God is the one who is pure, peaceable, gentle, merciful, constant, sincere. That's a divine spirit. So when he's at work and when we allow him to work, he makes us like that. That's the process we're in. Let us ask the Lord to continue to reveal himself, to free us, to heal us, and make us more and more, transform us more and more in his likeness.